Welcome to the ESO Early Competition Plan Phase 3 Consultation Summary Podcast. This podcast will summarise feedback we received from our stakeholders in the Phase 3 consultation and detail how this feedback will inform our final early competition plan. On the podcast today, we'll be joined by our leads who will be covering different areas of the consultation.
Hi, I'm Emily Mystery. I'm leading on the roles aspect.
Hi, Sally Thatcher, leading on the role of the TO, project identification and the implement process.
Mike Oxen, I'm leading on the commercial model and post-tender award stage.
Hi, Richard Patterson, leading on whether there could be a role for the ESO in distribution level early competition.
Rachel Payne, I've been leading on stakeholder engagement through the early competition project.
Hannah Kirk-Wilson, I'm the overall project lead within the ESO.
So starting with stakeholder engagement, how many responses did you receive to your Phase 3 consultation and which sectors were represented?
So our Phase 3 consultation, we received 12 responses, which was an improvement on our Phase 2 where we received 7. We're going to be publishing them on our website, but we'll be publishing just 11 of them. Because one of them's been asked to remain confidential. We did get a wide range of stakeholders that responded through this consultation. So we had TOs, financial organisation, public bodies, OFTOs and technology sectors.
In addition to your Phase 3 consultation, what other methods have you used to ensure the early competition plan is stakeholder-led?
So as we've gone through the process, the project's been running around about 18 months, so we've split it up into different phases, and as we've gone through those phases, we've flexed our approach. So in our first phase, we met with stakeholders face-to-face, and we talked with them face-to-face. We absorbed what their messages were, we refined it, we went back and played it back to them, and as we've gone through the process, we've had to change that. We've had to flex that with COVID. So we've had workshops with a number of stakeholders. We've also had bilateral meetings, and the output of those has been our consultations. So we've got the information through our stakeholders. We've gone back and we've researched and investigated information they've given us, and then we've reported it back in our consultation for people to be able to feedback on for us to further refine the proposals.
We'll now hear from our leads what our stakeholders said in their responses. What areas of the Phase 3 consultation proposals did stakeholders agree with?
So on the roles section, there was a couple of areas that stood out. So following feedback from our workshops in September, we explored the possibility of multiple parties being involved in the procurement process and found that there could be a possibility of an independent assurance activity. We consulted on this in Phase 3 about whether this activity was actually required, and most stakeholders agreed that independent assurance was not required as part of the procurement process, mainly due to the fact that we introduced the approver role. And the other main area of agreement was our proposed position for the contract and payment counterparty roles, where we consulted on the fact that the ESO could undertake these roles, and a majority of stakeholders agreed with us.
So on the project identification, we asked for views on a certainty measure, different drivers of need and third-party involvement in network planning. Overall feedback suggested stakeholder support for our proposals, with most stakeholders either directly agreeing or not directly expressing disagreement. Similarly, on the end-to-end process, stakeholder feedback suggested broad agreement.
On the commercial model and post-tender award stage, most stakeholders supported a CPIH-indexed tender revenue stream with a natural hedge. This included support for some form of preliminary works revenue. They also supported the revenue period being set on a need-dependent basis for up to a maximum period of 45 years. Most stakeholders also generally support our high-level views on the end of revenue period options, including in relation to the mechanism for revenue period extension.
So on the ESO role in distribution, we'd worked with stakeholders to develop some high-level thinking about what that role could be should Ofgem decide to introduce early competition into distribution as part of ED2. The first key takeaway was that the early competition process that we've designed for transmission is broadly transferable to distribution, but that modifications would be required to reflect the differences between the distribution and transmission environments, particularly in areas such as network planning processes, which are different, and the criteria for the competition itself. The second key takeaway is that there is a very little appetite for the ESO to become involved in the distribution-only competition. The general consensus is that the ESO doesn't have a role to play and that existing distribution parties are better placed at this point.
What areas of the Phase 3 consultation proposals did stakeholders disagree with?
So on the role section, one stakeholder disagreed with the whole role of the approver. Their argument centred around the fact that UCR covers all of these activities that we propose under the approver role. However, we believe that the UCR is not applicable, so bespoke procurement regulations are actually needed. There was also no other major areas of disagreement. However, there were some specific suggestions on changes to activities. We noted some of them and urged Ofgem to consider some of them further. We have updated some of the overarching checks mainly to extend them over different periods of the end-to-end process. And we added one of oversight activities following feedback. However, we've not defined what they are, but we feel this can be done post-submission.
Also on roles and responsibilities, we received very differing views on conflict mitigation in regard to the role of the TO. So some stakeholders felt our proposal sufficiently addressed the conflict, whereas others felt the perceptions of conflict would deter participants in the competition. Other stakeholders didn't directly comment on the conflict mitigation, but raised a preference for TOs to provide counterfactual options to the competition. On project identification, some stakeholders expressed concerns about the accuracy of our proposed certainty measure, and they also highlighted some challenges of competing different drivers of need, such as connections or asset replacements. And some stakeholders also highlighted some of the challenges that would be involved in third-party involvement in network planning. Then on the end-to-end process, some stakeholders highlighted concerns about the number of bidders that could progress from ITT Stage 1 to ITT Stage 2, and also on the ITT Stage 2 assessment methodology. And finally, some stakeholders said they would require further detail before they could comment.
On the commercial model and post-tender award stage, there were mixed views on our equity proposals, with some stakeholders suggesting later involvement for equity, such as via an equity competition. There were also mixed views on our overheads and margins proposals, and some stakeholders suggested that at least some of these costs should not be fixed at tender award stage. We will document this feedback in the ECP, but after consideration, we continue to think it is important to fix these costs at bid stage. Most stakeholders also had concerns on our post-award security requirement proposals. After considering this feedback, we have further refined our proposals and plan to flag to Ofgem that further work is required in this area as part of their decision-making process.
So in regards to an ESO role in distribution, some stakeholders did make a reference to a concern that the DNO-DSO arrangements for ED2 could create a conflict of interest. However, the nature of business separation between the DNO and DSOs is not clear at this point, with those proposals due later in 2021 as part of the ED2 business plans. However, the general consensus appears that if a conflict of interest became an issue, enhancement to the regulatory regime is a more proportionate response rather than the introduction of a new third party or the ESO. So we'll be highlighting this as an area for Ofgem to consider in more detail as the picture develops, and that it could change stakeholder views on a potential ESO role.
Are there any new suggestions which you had not previously considered for inclusion in the early competition plan?
So under the roles, we had some good suggestions around the checks that Ofgem as the approver need to consider further. And they centre around, for example, each stage should be transparent, for example, publishing the purpose of each check. All stage gates and activities carried out by the approver should be well understood by bidders. These activities should be formalised in some way, and the check should be clear and measurable. We sort of implicitly thought about these, but it wasn't something we'd explicitly considered in phase three, but we've definitely included them in the ECP. And we're urging Ofgem to explore these further. And the other suggestion was a new one that the TOs could take on the role of the procurement body. But under our model, we are suggesting that they participate as a bidder in the competition And so that's why they haven't been suggested as an option from phase two onwards.
On the end-to-end process, some stakeholders suggested some points of detail, such as environmental matters to be considered when evaluating bids. So this won't directly affect the ECP, as we don't go into that level of detail. However, if Ofgem decide to progress the competition, this feedback would be fed into the implementation development.
On the commercial model and post-tender award stage, whilst most stakeholders generally agreed with our proposals on a debt competition, some potential bidders had concerns with there being no potential upside in relation to the outcome. They questioned whether an obligation without an incentive could potentially lead to a less efficient debt competition. After reflecting on this stakeholder feedback, we now plan to flag to Ofgem that we think further work is required to explore the potential for some form of debt competition incentive for successful bidders.
Hannah, as project lead, what are your main takeaways from the Phase 3 consultation?
Our main takeaways are that the feedback we received is in line with our expectations from stakeholders. Given the topic areas, there are, as expected, areas where there are differences in stakeholder views, and consequently not all stakeholders will like all elements of our proposals.
What are the next steps for the early competition plan?
So the next steps for our early competition plan are submission to Ofgem at the end of April. We will publish the final report on our website at the same time. We will also be holding a webinar in May to go through the final report. As Ofgem will review our submission and then run their own consultation this summer with a view to making a decision whether to implement early competition in late summer or early autumn. Legislation to enact onshore competition is continuing to be developed by BEIS, and timing is subject to availability and parliamentary timetables. We are also in the process of agreeing low regret activities to continue to progress following submission of the early competition plan, and this will be ahead of a formal decision by Ofgem. And these are sort of low regret activities which will help maintain the momentum around developing the work on early competition. So these will be set out in our early competition plan and have been agreed with Ofgem.
That now brings our Phase 3 consultation summary podcast to an end. Thank you for listening.